This week on RSBNB Update, the community hit list returns with changes to Clue Scrolls, Golden Bamboo, and Shattered Worlds. We then dive into the combat beta that brings the necromancy treatment to life in the other combat skills. We then close with the upcoming RuneScape cookbook. This is RSBNB Update, episode 959, recorded Thursday, November 2nd, 2023. I've got 99 problems, but a beta ain't one. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update this week. Tanis, you're here, as you are each and every week. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, Shane.
Wave for the people on video. There you go. There you go. Wonderful. Also, Thaxi is here again. Welcome. You weren't supposed to be here 3 hours ago, but...
No!
But Bears
apologies in advance
was
going to
be here.
He just got all of our listener people.
Yeah.
I got subbed in last minute, so I have not had the time to do a whole lot of the prep work I would have liked for this episode in terms of getting onto the test server and poking at things as much. But
yeah, and
we're
and
here. We'll talk about it.
And we hope Bears will be okay because it's food poisoning.
Ooh. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But
so
sending him good wishes anyways.
Nonetheless, of course, this week, combat beta, more necromancy changes, and patch notes, plus journey to Tanis's kitchen.
Well, Shane, can I just compliment, I think we should compliment ourselves here, though, on our deep bench that we can just, you know, pull in somebody and... Watch, they're going to kill it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good discussion nonetheless, because at this point in time, everything on the combat beta is theoretical, because none of it might not launch to the end. Some of it definitely will, but there could be things that are left entirely behind. And I invite everybody to follow along in our show notes at update.show. You can also find us in-game at Friends Chat Bits Bytes, and we have our community Discord at rsbnb.com/Discord, but before we get too far down the road, of course, have to thank our experienced tier Patreon members for whom RSBNB Update would not be possible. And those are Amos Reed, Andrew C., Drama Free, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, Seth W., and The Naked Captain. Big, huge thank you to these people, and of course, these guys are going to be checking their mailboxes in the next week and a bit. I already got word that at least one of the quarterly mailouts has arrived, a fun little surprise for these experienced tier Patreon members. So
they're really nice looking.
Yeah, they are.
Really nice looking.
You know, we did the guild last year, the Legends Guild last year, and that was nice. This is nice too, but I don't want to pick favorites. That's kind of the position I'm in right now. I don't want to pick favorites between the two, but we'll talk more about what experience tier gets at the Patreon section of the show when we do an ad for that. But nonetheless, find us in game. I am Shane 12088. Tanis can be found at Tanis79, and Thaxi is just Thaxi. Okie dokes, folks. Let's start with the patch notes this week, because this week's patch notes were also part of the community hit list project, the ongoing effort to bring in the changes that people most want to see to the game. And the first one goes to Brawling Gloves, so that if you have Brawling Gloves of the same skill, you can combine them now for a maximum charge count of 1 million.
I like this one.
Okay. Yeah. I've never used these things.
I know you've never been in a XP competition back in the day.
Right, I remember you talking
Where do you
about
get them in
that.
Bulk, Tanis? Where's the, like, where would you go to find these? Because I get some from pickpocketing and Prif, and I get a couple from random wieldy drops, but I don't have a stockpile of these.
The stockpiles came from before the Prif was nerfed.
When Revs were there. Oh, and Prif thieving, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It used to be a lot easier to get them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm just like you. Like it may be the occasional pickpocket, but in the occasional drop.
It's not like it used to be in the wilderness, where you get them on the drop. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, where you used to, yeah.
And can't you get them from the maw as well?
You can, but Maw has such a large drop table, and it's one per day, right? So it's very rare. I might have pulled two or three there when I was going for you know, the 3 or 4 years I did it daily.
Yeah.
I always get junk enhancers there.
Yeah.
Just always.
Like, yeah, and you know, that's why I never go to the Maw. I know people always tell me I should be doing that if I don't have trim, but I don't.
The enhancer, some of the enhancers are really nice, right? So like the one that doubles your Chompy Bird count saves you a couple of hours, right? Like it's
that's a relatively gross grindy activity. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you set up your cannon in the right spot and then you just AFK and they'll die. You'll get them. It's literally like it's 5-6 hours to get that one done. I built it up to be harder than it was. I'm surprised when I did it.
Yeah. I mean, at least you're not doing 5,000 Castle Wars games now, right?
Right. Well, but like when, you know, Reaper was a thing, if you wanted to do 100 of the fight place thing, arena, cauldron, kiln. Nope. Kiln.
Kiln.
There's an enhancer that causes you to do 10% extra damage to everything in there.
Right. And that stacks up over time.
Just those kind of things. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a stack of them and they got used.
So that's why we go to the Maw then. I don't know. There's just so many other things to do. And like we talked about last week, I'm on kind of a push to, you know, reduce the amount of dailies that get done that it just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't cross the line as much. So.
No, I hear that.
Also, the rings of Scan Elite Clues now have different colors depending on the distance to the treasure. That's good.
Good.
And with this, also on the scan clues, the text output of the side interface is now colorized to distinguish the distance from the dig spot. Gold is within 6 paces, silver within 12, and bronze further than 12 paces.
That's good. That's nice. That's a good cure.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with Globetrotter and all that fun business now on trim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't remind me. I'm one of my 3 trim wrecks.
It's now possible to obtain puzzle skipping tickets and not skipping tickets from Elite Clues. I guess you couldn't before. Okay.
Well, because... Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if there was anything else on that one.
I don't do clues, I can't tell you.
Okay, fair. Fair enough. Here's a big one. You can now use the Elder God Eggs in the Zentistan Cathedral base map to replay the 20 weeks of God dialogue from the release of the Elder God Wars in 2021, plus the pivotal scene in Eye of Het Part 2 if you've completed the quest.
So we could hear an AI of Shane potentially reading us to...
I don't think you need an AI. I think you just go back to the shows. I think we read a couple of those
off. Yeah, we didn't read them all off, but we definitely read a couple of them.
We talked about them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think somebody said if you play them all back-to-back from that thing, it's like 2.5 or 3.5 hours or something. It's like it's a feature-length film worth of dialogue that they spit out. And some of it's deep. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it is. We learned so much, and it became a regular segment on the show from Note on Front Week all the way to, like, the first or second week of January.
Yeah, the God Gossip.
2022. I really appreciated that, and I would love to have something ongoing like that lore-wise right now in-game, but I understand that that was probably a monumental feat to pull off. So,
I mean, once they built the systems for it,
yeah,
but again, it's, you know, that was the season, right? That was the season for that, and this year we've got the fort,
which is more skilling related and not too lore heavy. So
yeah, it's a different type of
I'm interested
to see what they give us next year.
The player can choose to display the god conversations as either overhead chat head dialogue. So I guess chat head means that it comes in the box.
That would probably be faster. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think it's easier to read if it's in your chat box too, if I'm being honest.
Well, I think I was picturing that as like when the quest dialogue pops up and they've got a chat head that chats at you and you click the button at the bottom to continue. Okay. That's what I'm picturing.
Okay. Yeah. That's
right. If it all just popped up at once in your chat box, that's also probably easier to read.
Yeah. I'm going to have to contact.
It'd be nice if they give them God's chat.
I'm going to have to contact Questscaping and Avernick and see if they have any desire to go back and listen to all this.
I mean, it's all on the wiki, too.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, it might actually be easier to pull it in from the wiki, given, you know, text-to-speech capabilities for people like Tannis and whatnot. So, graphically updated the portal to Erebus in Extinction. You had fun there, Tannis?
It was a joy.
We kid. Yeah. That was a quest. Golden bamboo is now chopped approximately twice as fast, making it once again possible to deplete a triple bamboo island within the duration of the Lumberjack Aura. They know how very people want to play that content.
Very specific, but I respect it.
Yeah, that's good. And here's a big one.
I've never found no triple bamboo, have you, Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I bookmarked, two, as, but that's what I bookmarked as my triple. As my island for 120 woodcutting.
Nice.
And I think it's still bookmarked, so... And now here's a big one, and I know ModStu posted feedback, requesting feedback on this a few weeks back. But the feeling pumped mutator in Shattered Worlds once again has a 25% chance to trigger, a 10-second duration, and its 18-second cooldown has been removed. So to counterbalance all of this, Shattered Worlds monsters defeated well under the effect of feeling pumped award minimal combat XP to decouple combat XP gains from unlimited adrenaline. They also say that augmented item XP is unaffected. So what this means is this gives us a fun place to go and level up items if you are able to score the feeling pumped mutator in Shattered Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is good, because that was the number one thing I think that kind of went bye-bye when they nerfed the combat XP with Necromancy. And it's good to see this coming back in a way, because... And let's be honest, and I won't complain about this now because I've complained about it before, but leveling up items and making perks is one of my least favorite things to do in game. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. I don't love the XP part of it, right?
Well, like, the XP was nerfed before with the Necromancy combat changes.
Right, but you're not getting any if you're under, you know, correct, the feeling pumped or whatever. Yeah. So, like, I don't even think you needed to do that.
Oh, so you're just saying keep the XP normal, but don't, like, amp it up.
Because it's already nerfed.
Yeah. Well, then the counterbalance to that was always you don't get drops from this.
Yeah.
You get the reward currency, but, like,
so I don't know. I think it was a good move, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So, they also reduced the cost of Slayer masks in the Shadow Worlds reward shop, particularly those of low to mid Slayer monsters, to make them more accessible to lower level players, which is good, because I think Shadow Worlds needs to be used as kind of an onboarding for combat in RS, but that's a topic for a different day.
I mean, we've been talking about this because this week another game that we play had a similar update drop, which is just, it's RuneScape's roguelike. You pick buffs, and then you go through, and you just kill endless waves until you die.
Yep.
I mean, it's good. It's interesting. Like, it's unfortunate in that it is a little grindy with the reward strategy as it currently is. It isn't amazing, right? You go until you get your unlocks, and then you feel like you've been forced to be there until you leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And and like I said, that's more of a Band-Aid thing, and there could be more that's done to it, but I'm glad that this is back in place nonetheless. Then we get to the Necromancy changes. They didn't reverse too much of the nerfs we saw last week. So the Putrid Zombie's passive XP rate has been put back to what it was. It was 3 seconds, and they put it back to 1.8.
Right. Which is huge. Most of its damage comes from that. When you're not exploding it. So.
Yeah, so that's good. The Ghost, they increased this duration to 42 seconds to make it more in line with the other conjured friends, so everybody likes that. Heal values increased from 125 to 140%.
Right. With a reminder that it was 175, so they're bumping it back by about a little under a third, 25%, something like that, of what they knocked down. So...
And you know, I mean, I think we all have to agree that there was probably too much healing going on beforehand with this.
You do also have to remember that this still does scale. So when you have your ghost active, even with the like nerfed ghost active, that's a much smaller nerf. Like the amount they brought it up with the other damage scaling, because it scales off of our percent boosts.
Yeah.
So things right. like overload
and,
boost,
and,
those
and
kind
it's
of
like
things.
The hits and whatnot. It's yeah. not the pre-calculation one. So the more you mm-hmm. hit, you're gonna have that. So that's
so beneficial. They walked back the nerf on this, I would say, fairly significantly, yeah. given the other changes that they made.
And you know, this was actually really noticeable at Raziel, I do have to say, because with it at 125, I was consistently running out of food. But with this now and the changes that came in the previous week, I'm at the point where I was at beforehand, basically using about one brew and still having, you know, a handful of jellyfish left.
With a longer kill time, too. So that's,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. The kill times remain about 20 to 30 seconds longer than what they were 2 weeks ago. So
we expected it.
Yeah. And command Vengeful Ghost ability, they removed the 30-second duration on it. So now just active for the entirety of the ghost's lifespan. And, you know, this just removed a bit of jank that was there because you're juggling already, as we talked about so much. Necrosis, adrenaline, souls. And with this, you're always watching to see, is it time to, you know, activate command Vengeful Ghost? And with this, you do it at the start of the fight or whenever the ghost disappears, and you're good to go on that. So
yeah, this week is the satisfying changes. It's the, like, we're going to make things feel good and function the way that they probably should.
Yeah, but I also want to address some of our community feedback that we got on last week's episode on this, because there's very clearly... a binary walk down the middle on this, where I heard from some folks who are, you know, I'm just going to say at the average level of the PVM spectrum, who say that last week's nerfs were too hard. But I also heard from some people at the very, very high end who said that they didn't go far enough in terms of, you know, bringing necromancy down. And I do have to put a pinch of salt on that one and, you know, wonder how much of that is skill expression and whatnot. But I think when we land in the middle, and when Jagex lands in the middle, when it comes to balancing and nerfs, I think that's the smart spot to be, rather than being too low or too high.
Well, in the end game perspective, you have to remember too, is that, like, it's all about the burst and the big, you know,
yeah.
damage, like,
and most of the burst was with the skeleton, right?
Well, no, I mean, it's the whole style. The whole style is you can pre-stack all kinds of things. The burst, the initial style for is nuts. But you have to remember, for the high-tier people, with the combat beta changes we'll talk about this week, the other styles are getting some kind of a buff, likely.
Yeah.
And so even if necromancy at the high end is still overperforming, it's going to get brought up. That does bring the question, like you're saying, about the other side of that aisle, where you're like, well, necromancy is now over-nerfed. And I think for a lot of those players, it might be weaker than the other styles going forward. We're going to have to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And
when
things
come to life.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I actually have some thoughts on that regarding the beta after diving into that too. So, I want to say I consider myself mid-tier PVM. I don't know if that's a fair assessment. You guys agree, disagree on that?
You're on the upper end of mid-tier. You're a very high-functioning mid-tier player. But, like, you're not out there looking for AOD three-man groups. You're not soloing.
It depends
on what your definition of high tier is, but you're not pushing a lot of the high tier, especially the group bosses. You're
yeah,
not
like
going
like high tier for me, I'd say,
things.
Like, you know, solacking, doing Virago, soloing Virago sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd put on that.
You're still getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if I want to. But anyways, more on that. More on that in a little bit. Moving on to the rest of the patch notes this week, general patch notes. Only a couple of them this week, and this is actually a really big one. And this was near the bottom of the patch notes document. Adding runes to urns has been rethemed to imbuing urns, and staves can now be used to perform this action.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What did they do? What did they do for the runecrafting urns? Did they say?
No, and I did not test
those
this.
required rune essence.
Right.
I don't have any unruned ones.
So I'd assume with that you'd still need to, you know, just do it manually. And aren't there some also that need like nature runes?
I mean, there's a staff for that. To be fair, it uses charges, but it saves nature runes.
Right. But I mean, it's not as infinite as like a lava battle staff or. or something.
I think the farming ones do require nature urns. I don't know how many people use farming urns, though. Seems like a skill that it's fairly easy to get 200. You have 200 mil farming. You don't use farming
them.
Urns. Get out of here.
I use them get extensively on Fresh Start.
It's so much work for so little XP in that skill.
We were
so
looking for every little boost
you're crazy.
Possible.
You're crazy.
Yeah, see, we mid-max like they mid-max, you know?
I'm not sure it's worth your time. I mean, I guess for farming because you can't grind
no,
it.
No, and neither is some of this stupid little niche minutia.
All right, cool. So you can use staves to do urns. That's a good change. That's a good change. All of the runes were stackable before, so the only one that it saves you time on would be rune crafting,
essence.
Which of course
yeah.
is not, but of
yeah.
whatever, it's fine. It's what pouches are for.
Fair enough. All right. So with that, those are last week's necromancy changes, or rather this week's necromancy changes, and now I think it's time to kind of just move the page over to the combat beta side of things, and they've done an actually really good job with this, to the point that they're able to patch in things really quickly, because there was actually a patch on the beta today courtesy of Sponge and Ryan that did extra things. But let's go through the base things that were there, the things that
right.
we got initially. So the big things that this combat beta wanted to talk about and get in the hands of players was, the first thing was the accuracy changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was one of the things that came out with necromancy. And I think at the
yeah.
time we were all like, oh my God, this, you know, just kind of makes things more straightforward in terms of knowing how you're going to hit, rather than, you know, oh, I hit a zero. No, now, you know,
right.
if this is going to happen, I, you know, might just hit
50%
of my damage.
Yeah.
Which
is still nothing, but yeah.
But it's something. And they're calling right. it damage potential. And this effectively boils down to the removal of hit chance, and instead a damage scaler based on the percentage chance to hit. So 50% means you do 50% of your damage instead of having a 50% chance to miss. Which,
right.
I went onto the beta server. I did some mm-hmm. I did some base PVM God Wars 3 Elder God Wars stuff with this. It's nice where it needs to work. And, you know, in general, I think that this is probably the most basic of basic changes that they could bring forward, and at this point this one is probably, I'd say, a slam dunk to be a yes. Because
yeah.
because I mean it doesn't necessarily make things too overpowered, and it's just a nice way to ease people into other parts of the combat triangle.
I was a little torn when I first saw this, because it like, there's two sides of it, right? Like, there's part of me that was scared of the change and afraid that, like, oh, but you miss those moments where, you know, you hit your accuracy is really low, but you hit five times in a row with big numbers, and suddenly that was the fastest, you know, Slayer kill you've ever done,
right? Okay.
Right, when you're new, and that feels good. But, like, at the same time, you flip that, and it's, like, it's very satisfying to do continuous damage. It's, like, going to be more satisfying for the end game side of things. And it's, like, how do I put this? Especially at lower levels where you've got lower hit chance. Like, remember doing Fresh Start, and we're doing combat,
yeah.
and, you like, we miss so often.
Yeah.
You're splashing all the time.
Yeah.
And not being able to splash, I think, for the new player perspective, for people who are getting into the game, I think that that is something that maybe makes it better. And I don't know if that's better for retention, right? I don't know if that's something that is
right.
a quality. Like, if something that people are like, oh, I missed, so I'm not going to play anymore. No, I don't know. But, like, if maybe that's just one less frustration to deal with. Like, for people who are new to the system, but it still gives it weight and scaling.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it from that perspective. But another thing I also see with this, and why I think it's important for this one to come in, is that it adds a level of consistency between the way the other styles would work in necromancy.
Yes.
And, you know, they're going to be funneling people towards necromancy when they sign up for RS, and that's probably going to be some people's first combat style, and then they go pick up a set of crossbows, and they see that it's entirely different when they're level 23 ranged. Does that make sense? I don't think so. So that's why I think this one, this first one's a no-brainer to come on over.
Well, and the other thing that I did hear somebody say out of this is that if you, like, the counterpoint to this is that I believe if you're below 20% accuracy, you will hit a zero every time. That's how you still splash. Is like, if you're fighting something that you really shouldn't be fighting, right, you no longer even have a chance of killing it. Which is fine and interesting, but it's just an interesting point to make that obviously endgame, nothing. You nothing has that hit chance. But
yeah. And that's been that perspective we talked about too, where, you know, at some bosses and whatnot, accuracy just doesn't matter. Some slayer creatures, you're high level enough, you're potted up, accuracy just does not matter.
It's just a thing you have 120%.
And that persists with this too, with this change as well. It just, you know, changes the mid to low end. And I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that with the average side and what Necromancy did for that, and hopefully did for that, I'll just say. So
I think so.
I don't feel like that one's too controversial.
It's a satisfying change. It's going to make the game more consistent in the end game, and they're making a couple of changes like that. So
Yeah.
I think it's a slam dunk.
Next one, increase the damage cap for all combat styles, which is, of course, an increase from 10 or 12,000 to 30,000.
Right.
I kind of wanted to do this one with the next one because these created some really interesting things on the side. So the next one is they implemented a simplified critical strike system for all combat styles, where each style will have a percent chance to critically strike, and then when you critically strike, your damage is increased by your critical strike damage percentage, which increases with level. And to me, this sounds really fun on the side, but of course, there's lots of things that need to be worked around on this. So the base crit strike chance is 10% for all styles. However, they're open to changing this with beta feedback. As for critical strike damage, it's the same formula as necromancy for all styles. However, this could change on beta feedback. For example, melee could have 100% critical strike damage, and going forward, melee will use the strength stat for this, which I think is nice. And oh boy, this has done some fun things to my first combat style ranged and your favorite, hasn't it?
So it's done a few things, but this to me, interestingly, is the like, when they're getting rid of those highlight moments where all of the RNG works in your favor with like removing accuracy, they're adding it back with crit chances.
Yeah.
Where if the world lines up and you get all those crits, that's so satisfying. And so there's two sides. The hit cap side of things, it's worth noting that ranged and melee hit capped often, right? Anything with berserk in melee, you're hit capping on like half your abilities practically, especially with a high roll, especially with a crit, even before, you know, these changes. If they're going to increase, especially crit scaling, they had to increase the hit cap. That like is just a thing that had to happen.
And once again, consistency, 30,000, same as necromancy.
Right. And so, I mean, it's those two styles benefit from that part of the buff a little more than magic does, where magic had a lot of lower hits, but you weren't going to hit cap on magic very often unless you were like detonate was really the only ability that consistently would hit.
Yeah.
Cap.
Yeah.
But magic still had great damage because it had such high crit ratio. You critted so often on magic. And so the other part of this buff is more of a magic buff. So I'm interested to see at the end of the day when the balance comes out on this, you know, how the combat triangle is looking, but these buffs do seem to buff things all appropriately.
Yeah.
But the thing to note with that is like at least high end, right? But the interesting thing to note with that is that like it's a lot of power creep. Especially since they're also just straight up adding 5% base crit chance to all styles so that they match Necromancy's base 10% crit chance. Even before you add in like Biting Perk and Grimoire and the other things that increase your chance to critically strike.
And that's what Bears was saying as well with this, is that it's interesting to play with this because it's very clear going into the beta that ranged and melee benefit the most for these changes that we're seeing right here. And it becomes a philosophical discussion about whether or not you can have something like a Saren Godbow potentially hit, you know, 120,000 damage plus with its special attack. and whether or not that's a good thing.
That's the thing, right? Is the like, again, like I'm saying, like I still think magic is has the potential to come out on top of this, just because your crit chance on magic, especially with channeling, ring and everything, is so much higher.
Yeah.
But it's a sleeper for it, right? It doesn't have those highlight moments where you're on the beta and you're like, oh, I just dark bowed for 60k, right? Like the dark bow, so many of the melee spec weapons, not including the D-Long, which already had a 30,000 hit cap, but like so many of like the big hits from those styles are now much bigger hits, especially if you get that crit, right? Like it's, you're hitting fat numbers if you're doing that in an ultimate. I don't know. Again, like it's very satisfying. Like that's the thing, right? That's the real debate is like, we were talking about this earlier in the week is like, it feels so satisfying. It feels so good to hit those big numbers and have that RNG. And like these elements are so good gameplay and game design wise. And the question is, how does that play with old systems, right? Like, remember when quest bosses were hard? Like I'm so worried that we're going to get... This is such a Rolling Stone fallacy. Like, don't... Like, I know. But just, like, when the evolution of combat hit, all the quest bosses, given they also... They didn't scale the quest bosses appropriately, in addition to the damage going up drastically. And so quest bosses were getting one-shot by everything. And we're like, wait, this used to be hard. And now Count Drainer can be one-shot by a level 50. Like, oh, that feels...
The one I remember most is when you were going through the quest and you did Monkey Badness.
Right, oh yeah, I mean, Jungle Demon. You used to have to safe spot that guy, like, doing it on old school again, and you're remembering, like, oh boy, some of these hurt, they were hard. You had to actually think about those quest bosses. They were something you, like, geared for. And now you're just like, oh, quest boss, poke, okay, he's gone, moving on. And I don't want that to happen to our bosses, right? Like, you think about some of the old bosses, like QBD. QBD, when she came out, was the hardest thing anybody had ever seen. And power scaling has, over many years, has gotten to a point where she's a joke, right? Like, there are glitches because of how quickly we can kill her. And it's just, she's not fun anymore, right? Like, it's not just that her loot is still fine. Like, you can still make, like...
Yeah,
6-10 mil,
and these changes,
QBD kills.
These changes have the potential to move something like Araxi into that category too, where you can effectively.
That's my worry is that Araxi
it.
Is now like you can burst through the 25,000 health points of QBD that fast. You can probably burst through the 100,000 health points of Araxi pretty similarly too, and so, you know, it becomes like I don't want to say that these bosses should never go away, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and
there's a strong reason we don't do QBD anymore, right? Like,
right.
The Royal Crossbow is not the weapon it once was.
And we get to a really interesting philosophical discussion on this too, because what this showed me on the beta, obviously I said accuracy change is wonderful, but what I saw from this on the beta, comparing this to how Necromancy functioned and my experiences with Necromancy, these beta changes, this first batch, effectively open the door for people who know what they were doing. And that's what Bears was going to say when he was going to be on the show this week. It means that people like him who knew what they were doing had the multiple switches and their styles and everything nailed down. This lets those people compete with Necromancy level damage.
And more, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know where it gets really interesting with it is that from my perspective, somebody who used ranged for all of Reaper Crew and effectively, you know, didn't do weapon switches except for, you know, the Saren Godbow spec. What this has done for me is that it shows me that my potential to hit those numbers with something like ranged is there, but I need to work a ton harder than I would have been working in the past to hit those numbers. Whereas with how Necromancy is right now, it's just easier for me to use Necromancy and hit those numbers, if that makes sense. It would mean, you know, having a rotation that's perfect, having the gear that's perfect, and making sure that I have all those extra tools in my toolbox, and then I would be able to take my ranged up to the level that my Necromancy is at with that. And I don't have much experience with Magic or Melee at the high end. I have the gear, but I never really use it.
I have a feeling, Shane, that if you could range Razio, your range kill times would be pretty darn similar to your Necromancy ones. Like, after the Necromancy nerfs that, you know, the changes last week to balance it.
Right, and what I wanted to do with that is go to and go to somewhere that I always used to go for, you know, testing these sorts of things, and go do a couple of hard mode Karapak runs. I didn't get the time to do that on hard mode, but I feel like that would be an interesting, you know, binary comparison between the range setup that I had that wasn't really camping much at Necromancy. And, you know, maybe even go back to the crossbow and use the Ruby Hydrix combo there for that, given
Hit cap.
So, and I'm wondering if this has been picked up on by people in the high-end PVM community. And obviously they see that in terms of, you know, how their numbers can be high and whatnot. But I'm wondering if they see this sort of parallel between these changes enabling them to reach up to what Necromancy is doing and how they feel about that. Because you remember a lot of the discussion that came in after Necromancy is that Necromancy made things too easy. Well, the answer is that if you have this right now with your ranged or magic, isn't that going to do the same thing? Or is it more about skill expression and that you need to do so much more to hit those numbers, which makes it okay? And I think that's the interesting discussion part on here.
And that's the thing, too. You have to remember that, like, the other styles have decades worth of upgrades, right? Yeah. Like, you've got all of the Slayer helmet add-ons. You've got all of the, like all of the bits and bobs. The reason we have so many switches and things is because of all the stuff they've released. And, like, if you get half of even those basic upgrades, like that Slayer helm thing for Necromancy, it becomes a different discussion. There's room for Necromancy to be a little weaker right now. It couldn't be weaker on release because we wanted it to feel good and satisfying.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not saying that, I'm not putting on my tinfoil hat and saying any of this was intentional, but I think it's ended up as a, like, what I would call good design, and that it, like, brought people in and taught them Necromancy and showed them what it can do. And then for people who were really optimizing the other styles, I think this beta will bring them, like, again, like, I like
that's exactly
the way that
it.
The balance beta, is coming out on
the beta
this.
Brings those other styles to where Necromancy was, and you're at a point
satisfying changes.
And you're at a point then where you have to ask, are these things relatively equal, or is maybe even Necromancy with these changes in a little bit behind?
I think it is, and I think that's okay. Because again, like, I want them to have room to give us a ton of those upgrades and give us the fun stuff. And, and I'm not looking at them to add a bunch of switches or anything, but there's plenty of room for them to add things or ability modifiers, whatever it is, to make upgrades that feel meaningful and good. And I think this gives them the room to do that. Now, the question, again, because it's comparative balance-wise, with the combat now quadrangle? I don't know.
Well, it's still, like, a triangle. Necromancy just sits outside of it.
Yes, fair enough. The combat style balance, then. I think the balance on it between them is good. It's just my only concern is, and this is a fully different discussion, of, like, what, you know, what level of power is acceptable for somebody who knows what they're doing, right? Like, somebody at your level, at my level, who's not pushing super endgame stuff, but has cleared everything and knows generally how the game works.
And yeah, and we should also clarify this.
Combat.
Reaper crew, Raziel logs almost complete.
Yeah.
Liberator title at MazCab. You have, 700, 800 plus Yakka kills and whatnot at this point? So it's not
Yeah, I have over 100 kills on all but, I think, 5 or 6 bosses.
Yeah, so it's not like we're you know,
the
walking,
elite dungeons can go down a hole. What?
We're not walking into this from a perspective of having done PVM before.
So
it's just we're not pushing those things like
we're
Solax,
not pushing those limits.
The Solax and the Virago.
So the question is, like, for us, like, for me, I'm willing to bet that my range damage on the beta and my necromancy damage now are probably relatively similar with you know, good functional setups. And my question is, like, does that,
would, like, this, and what, and I want to do two things here. I have a question for you, then I have a question for Tanis. Would this, if this came into game, how it's looking right now, would this spur you to go and raise money and get a Bow of the Last Guardian?
Me personally, no, because I'm lazy.
Okay.
Solely because, like, I have never been a fan of Switchscape as much as I could avoid it. I have a couple, like, I'll switch amulets, I'll do shield switches, I'll do, like, I run around with 3-4 items for switches in my inventory when I'm doing this, 5 room pouches, whatever, all this sweaty nonsense. But in terms of, like, counting stacks for Bulg is just not a gameplay element that I think I would enjoy.
Right.
You know, because that requires you to have a very consistent standardized rotation. And I like doing Slayer. I like bouncing between things. I like doing 10 kills at a boss and then going to something else. I don't like camping to really figure out a rotation, and then, like, I just don't do that. And so Bulg for me is not something that is as big of a buff as it is for other people. It falls in the same camp as, like, Wen arrows, right? Where, like, Wen arrows are possibly, like, the best arrow in every city, but there's so much sweat to use, and I just can't be bothered. Like, there's a reason I'm the guy who makes the revolution bars for all of our stuff, because I like to theorycraft the easiest way to do things, right? Like, that's me. So, no, I wouldn't. And to be fair, like, my magic gear right now, my best magic gear is, you know, ports, wands, and octo tank gear. Like,
yeah, well, you didn't have a choice in that. That was the half problem.
No. That's what I'm saying is, like, if I had the money right now, I would be buying tier 95 necro gear before probably anything else. Because I have my range gear.
Like, I still think that's a smart move just because of the lower APM needed to be effective with it.
I also just like it. I like the style.
Yeah.
A new toy is fun. I've spent 20 years with the others, and this one, I'm enjoying it so far. So.
Okay. So, Tannis.
At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
So, Tannis, with accuracy changes inbound, probably an increase in damage cap here, with what you saw during the entire necromancy push, and now with these changes on the beta, as somebody who does Slayer primarily, which style do you go to?
You know, I think that these things are helpful, and I don't really feel that this is, like, all that tinfoil patty. But I feel like these changes were floated with necromancy to see kind of how it was going to go.
Oh,
and that people maybe thought about this were changes that they wanted to do to the combat system in general. And they wanted to see kind of what that reaction would be. It makes RuneScape's combat, I guess, feel a little bit better because you're hitting more. And I'm sure if someone is good and they're hitting 30Ks and stuff, I think this would be, like, really fun.
Yeah, this is fun.
So what you're saying is, instead of releasing something, a news post about it the Friday before, they actually tried it out a couple of months in advance and then took the feedback? Ooh. Oh, don't give them ideas, Tannis.
Well, no, and I mean, it makes sense. You look at this in many ways. Necromancy is the beta test for this, then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they very much designed this necromancy skill so that it felt, or so that it might feel balanced with these. I said, hey, what do you think about these things that we know are buffs that you will probably
because
like?
Because you can't change the RS combat system without having buy-in from the players.
Well, that's it exactly. It's the, like, we talked about this. It's that, like, afraid of change mindset that I was like, oh, but then you don't get those changes where you miss and then you hit big numbers. No, now you just hit medium numbers at all times, but it feels so much better.
Right.
And so we're afraid that, like, we're losing something, but in actuality, maybe it's just that we're better off losing that thing.
Yeah,
maybe.
Oh, so many comparisons in life.
No, I know.
So which one would you use then if you were going to do Slayer if these changes came in?
Honestly, if these changes come in, and I know you think that this would be the least benefited style, but I kind of just want to go back to magic. Like, I was really getting comfortable with magic.
Oh, that's another interesting idea. Do these changes have any impact on legacy magic then? Like, I mean, I don't think you're going to be hitting well beyond.
You still crit. The crit damage still counts. The crit chance still counts to some degree. The Seer's Ring won't do anything, but the like Legacy can still crit, and it'll still get the extra 5% chance to crit that's just based from this update. So Legacy will get some buff from it, not as much of a buff. But, I mean, it's the same thing as we're talking about with before, right? It's that like when you're a crazy endgame with all of the upgrades, all of everything, like these are really big changes. And when you're in the mid game range, they're moderate buffs. Like, yeah. You know, they're more reasonable. And so that's what you have to really think through for me with this is these might be. Like for Legacy, you're going to get that average player experience. You're still going to get something out of it. It's just not the big bump. And it pushes the ceiling higher, but it also pushes the floor a little bit, which is good. Maybe. I don't know. Again, it comes down to the question of how much power creep is too much power creep in a short period of time without releasing a bunch of new things or rescaling the old things.
And I posted a picture, and this will be the last thing on this before we move on to the other ones that came in. I posted a picture of the combat beta yesterday, and there were 13 people across both worlds on there. So my question is there enough feedback that's going to come in terms of what we were talking about? Is this power creep too much for the bossing side? Where do we learn about that? How does Jagex make that decision on that?
I mean, how do I put this? The people who are running this beta, right? Like it's Sponge and Roman, it's the Combat Council. And from my perspective, the Combat Council has done nothing but good work so far. Like I can't think of a change they've made that I'm really upset about. Not that I'm upset about a whole lot that devs do, to be honest, but like they haven't done a lot that the community has reacted to and been like, you did what? Now hold up. Like, people weren't pleased about the Draco nerfs, but we all knew that they probably needed to happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing I can think of, is like, you know, it's, I trust that they're going to do good work, and okay. I trust that it's going to come out well.
All right.
So, I don't know.
All right. Tanis, do you have anything on these ones before we move on to the second batch of beta?
No, man. When it comes to the minutiae of what is best for combat in this game, I leave that to people that actually are going to be doing it on a level that I'm not.
Wouldn't that be fun behind the scenes? Training. How does the Combat Council benchmark and test?
And how much do they listen to like the player feedback side of things, right? Because you know that they're in the game playing it. All of them play endgame,
yeah.
Like actual endgame to various degrees.
Which I'll say is rare for MMOs to have people
play endgame on their own time.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. But like Ramen, Sponge, even like Spear, like there's a ton of people in the office that are doing, that are doing the endgame stuff. They're all out there. So, I mean, that whole combat council, like, again, like, they know what they're doing. I trust that they will hear the feedback that everything feels like it doesn't matter anymore, and maybe we'll get, you know, a rebalance on something, or who knows.
Yeah, I just hope there's enough foot traffic in the beta that they can pull that information out, but...
Well, you would have thought, I mean, you wouldn't think people were insincere, do you? I mean, not... This community, they wouldn't say that.
Oh, just wait. The
wanted something.
Just wait. The gear and perk really vendors didn't. Might be on the way for the beta.
With all of my love to the Reddit community, you have your moments where sometimes.
But you know who doesn't have those moments? It's our Patreon supporters. We love
That's
what
right.
they do. We love each and every one of them for their contributions to the podcast and this community. So this week, I'd like to thank Alaska, Alvaro L., Amos Reed, Anatoly D, Andrew C, Arvid Zell, Chulbura, Chunk the Monk, Dominic R, Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, G Hammy, Guy Lafleur, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Jim M, Keski, Killer Snowball, Malinoric, Nate the Great, Nick G, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A, Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W, Shirtpants, The Naked Captain, The Dab and Goat, Tim, Tom V, Ukulele Steve, and Zant. Big, huge thank you to all of these people. And of course, if you're wondering what this is all about, this is our Patreon offerings at patreon.com/RSBNB, where you can support the podcast monetarily if you so choose to. We have three tiers, nominally four that you can do, but the fourth one is sold out. presently on that. But for as little as a dollar a month, you gain access to an entire back catalog of monthly bits, bonus shows, we call them, where we talk about one topic in particular. And we had a really energetic conversation this week in our producer's channel about about the upcoming monthly bits. And
this Slayer bit is about to be spicy.
And fixing Slayer. So that's what the next one's going to be.
We found the only two people ever to hate the Slayer skill.
No, you found more than that. You found more than that. You found more than that.
More than two. Yeah, okay.
That world famous tier list, discussions on legacy combat. That's why I always bring that up to Tanis amongst other things. But an entire back catalog, a dollar a month. Plus, you also get a mention in our show notes, and you get the personal satisfaction of helping support RSBNB update. We also have a $3 a month tier where you get a VIP rank on Discord, including chat channel access, a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and high-quality stereo versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week, including access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. Of course, that's on the way in a month and a bit. Oh, boy, that feels weird to say, doesn't that, Tanis? A month and a bit till the clip show. Wow. And also, those people get the RSBNB update Christmas card in December. And we do also have the experience tier as well, but that's also sold out presently. And I'll just give a shout out to Cyoasis, who is joining us behind the scenes. He's just sitting, listening. We had a bit of a Q&A with him at the in pre-show, and you just got to see how the sausage is made, I guess you could say. That's the way we put that, amongst other things. And of course, also the Patreon mail out as well went out. I already heard that some of those got there. So that's what the experience tier gets: quarterly mail outs and ability to attend a live show recording. But patreon.com/RSBNB. Thanks so much, everyone. It means the world to us.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So we got more changes this week.
We did.
Just when we thought that they were done.
Updates.
But a number of changes that were made this week to the beta world with this. So they converted the abilities from the other combat styles to use the same behind-the-scenes systems that Necromancy uses. So with this, it means that all the other combat abilities will have updated tooltips, including improvements such as displaying the adrenaline consumed for threshold abilities. And this is the beginning, and there will be more iterations on this going forward. Also, action bar improvements, so that action bar slots that have no relation to the global cooldown will no longer display it unnecessarily. So, for example, surges and wars retreat teleports won't show that if you're doing something that activates a global cooldown. And the action bar slots will no longer flash unnecessarily when swapping weapons after having been used in the current play session. I find these ones interesting because they just seem to be weird little changes around the edge, I guess you could say, that you wouldn't necessarily think would be combat related.
Clean up in quality of life.
But it's just, yeah, like you say, quality of life.
Yeah.
Yep, they're cleaning up the interface. Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Changes, but I don't have a lot to say about it.
Reduced PvP damage scaling from 66 to 20%. So 50% critical strike damage is now scaled to 10% in PvP, which I guess makes sense because you would one-shot somebody otherwise.
Yeah. The two
three people
who
that
engage
PvP.
In, yeah, for engage in PvP in this game still. Okay. I don't know anything about that world or meta, so I'm just going to say, okay.
You can
I don't
get away
know
with
they
it now
either,
if not bills on the line. No one.
If there was an active community, I would be interested in hearing what they said, but I don't know anybody that does PvP at all.
I think the only PvP that was out there, kind of quasi out there, was the Duel Arena PvP before that was removed. We all know what that was, right? The Sand Casino.
I mean, this to me is just, you're not going to be able to one-shot people running to the Abyss now,
I guess.
Like, that's the only thing I can think of. Maybe warbands, like warbands.
Yeah,
are a little warbands. Bit safer.
Warbands.
You're not at risk of somebody running up behind you with an omni power that happens to crit, and you're just dead. Like, I don't know. Sure.
All right. Let's talk about damage squishing because that's an actual technical term.
Apparently.
So the read on this is that ability damage ranges so greatly in the live game, typically 20% fixed damage and 80% random damage. What this means is that with the new crit strike system, players could roll low on a critical strike and do less damage than if they had just rolled high. And for what it's worth, this is something that I actually picked up on the beta. I saw a number of times my Saren Godbow specs hitting really low, and I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay.
Right.
And they said this leads to incredibly high variance based on whether or not your critical luck lined up with your damage rolls. So they've squished these ranges to be closer to 80 to 90% of fixed damage. So you should notice that your hits are more consistent and play nicer with the critical strike system and are less likely to hit 30k hit cap.
Right.
And they did this for all three styles.
There were previous, the way that crits previously worked, if my understanding is totally accurate, is that like you had the 5% base chance, which is not an actual 5% chance. It looked within the damage window.
Yeah.
And it said if you rolled in the top 5% of your damage window, you would get an extra 20% damage.
Yeah.
Which always made crits that amount of valuable. Any separate crit buffs you had rolled a completely separate crit chance. They didn't actually alter that 5%.
Yeah.
They added an extra secondary roll that was like, hey, if you didn't roll in that top 5%, we're going to force your damage to that value and then add the 20% on top of it. And what sounds like was happening with here and what happened with Necromancy was the damage you roll is the damage you roll. There's no forcing values to the high end or rolling at the high end. It's just the way that this is going to work is you get, like, you roll 20% of your max value and you roll a crit separately, then you now get your crit on that 20%, and it didn't feel as good. So reducing the squishing range, again, this is the same thing to me. To me, this is the same fix as the accuracy change. It's removing that. Well, I mean, this just on its own as a change, right? The squishing of the damage value, even if you're not critting, it works better for crits, but it has the same justification as the accuracy change. There's less variance in your play. You're going to put out more consistent damage at the high end when you need to calculate where you're going to end up at what time and where you are in your rotation, right? There's less RNG. And then at the low levels, you're going to be like, it's just consistency across the board at the cost of that like highlight play moment where everything RNG lines up.
Yeah.
This is that same argument to me, is that this is just saying we're going to squish it down and make it work as an expected value instead of a random value. Which I think for the same reasons I thought the other one was good, I'm like, oh, part of my brain in the back is like, oh no, what about this thing that could happen? But realistically, I think it's a good change because it's going to feel satisfying and feel more consistent and make the game be more like structured so that you can plan out things in advance.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way of tying it together in terms of just mentioning the old critical strike system, because that system was weird, I'll say it. And with this, I feel like that just makes things easier to understand. And at some point, you got to unspaghettify, right? So,
I mean, for people who have played other games and are coming to RuneScape, RuneScape crits now make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially if it's like an old school player.
And exactly
for whom
the same thing.
Exist.
If you're going to have a crit in Necromancy, you want that same crit to be the same in Magic Melee ranged. So.
Yes, true.
They also linked ability or linked damage abilities. So some abilities generate damage based on previous hits. So the example they give is Snapshot has its second hit determined by its first hit. So abilities like this can have unintended consequences, such as scaling additional effects. And they say a good example is Snapshot's second hit, scaling up a Ruby Bolt's damage. Oh boy. And in order to make combat easier to understand, they're moving towards unlinking these abilities so that the damage rolls are independent. And they haven't quite covered all the abilities like this, but they're looking to complete this in another set of changes on the beta. And the initial ones they did were Snapshot, Greater Ricochet, Snipe with Enhanced Nightmare Gauntlets. All of those no longer scale from the previous hits and instead will do a separate damage calculation.
I mean, it's like when, you know, you proc'd a Ruby Bolt on a Greater Ricochet and it would be Ruby Bolts like five times for that brief moment when that was a thing. I'm sure it's like it's part of that same spaghetti of code for when that was briefly a problem.
And when you look at it from this way, this also makes it so that you don't have these, you know, 150k, five Ruby Bolts hit if that would have happened with Greco.
again, it's all in the name of consistency, right? Like, before, if you rolled really well on your first hit, or if you rolled that Ruby Bolt proc or whatever, you would have a ton of damage versus if you rolled really low. This is just going to say all the damage is going to work out to be closer to the average expected number, which, again, fine for same reason you've been talking about.
Are these changes making you like ranged more?
Me?
Yeah.
My opinion on this, my rotation hasn't changed. My average damage doesn't change because of that. On like over a large stretch of time, it's going to be more consistent moment to moment, but it's going to be the same. Like, range hasn't changed fundamentally from that. Range has changed because of the crit changes and because of the hit cap changes. But range, this doesn't change how the style functions or how I play it at all.
Okay.
It's going to change the outcome a little bit and make it more consistent and more plannable, which, again, if you're using the Bow of Last Guardian, it's great in particular.
But that outcome is something I like with it. So that's good.
It'll feel satisfying, but it will feel the same. It will play the same. So for me, it doesn't, you know, change how I think about the style, no.
All right. Tanis, anything on these ones so far from you?
Yeah, not really. I mean,
good changes, fine. Yeah, I don't have...
Yeah.
Okay. Damage per level, potion stat boost. So they said, let's try this again. In the live game abilities, you cast, do additional fixed amount of damage if your combat stats are boosted above their base level, and this is a triple problem because it leads to multi-hit abilities always being a priority over an equally balanced single-hit ability. It means that boosting a stat essentially boosts your damage twice, once at the core, making you deal the same damage of the level you're boosted to, and once by giving a fixed amount of damage. And it means that if a player with 80 magic boosting to 90 magic would then outboost a player at level 90 magic that wasn't boosting. So as a result of this, they're going to trial removing the damage per level granted by stat boosting with the other active changes in the beta. We hope you won't even notice it's gone. And this was initially supposed to come in with necromancy, but they got that out relatively quickly after it arrived. So
when they first did this,
quirk anyway,
it
right?
is. Like,
no one should care about
this. This has always been a thing since the beginning of forever.
Well, since
Overload. Yeah, but it's we didn't even know about it for years. Somebody was like vaguely aware that something was different.
I think Mod Pie discovered it shortly before he left.
Yeah, we as a community discovered this probably halfway between when EOC came out and now. Like, not quite, a little earlier than that, but 2016, 2017 was when people were first like vaguely aware of it. And again, it doesn't change how we do. We're still going to boost, but like, it's not clear. And getting rid of it is a good thing from that aspect. And the clearly it had some funny interactions with Magma Tempests, which they made a note about.
Yeah,
but like,
they brought the floor up from 5% to 15%, left the ceiling at
19%.
Yeah. So
like, they're adding 20% or 30%. Let's say real napkin math, I have no idea, extra damage to each combat style, and they're pulling out with this, you know, 5 or 10%. It's a good, like, bit of a good check and balance, but it also is a good clarity change. I like that they did this. I hope it goes through.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. Are people going to notice this going forward? And we kind of need to, at this point...
Not with those crit changes. Now.
Right, and that's the thing. With these crit changes, you might not even notice that. Do another round of testing on this. So, and these actually just came out today. I haven't been in the beta yet since then, so we'll see if it feels any different next time. Skewed damage rolling. In the live game, some abilities have a heightened chance to roll their minimum hit, making them overly confusing as their displayed damage ranges can't be used to figure out their average damage. And a good example of this is Dismember. Using its tooltip, you would assume that its average damage is around 144% ability damage. However, it is in fact closer to 120% ability damage ability due to its increased chance to roll low. And to simplify these, they're removing the skewed rolling, so tooltips are a much more accurate representation of the ability. And this affects Dismember, Slaughter, Combust, and Fragmentation Shot.
So the basic ability bleed for each combat style plus the threshold bleed from Slaughter. Solder is going to be really, really strong if they don't adjust about the numbers on it. Even min rolling, because Solder, again, remember, does Solder, Combust, and Fragmentation Shot are the ones that do extra damage when you move your target. Combust and Fragmentation Shot do double. Solder does triple. And that was put in place so like you could be actively, like you're moving your target, you're stepping under them, or you're walking away to cause those abilities to hit appropriate numbers. Now you don't need to do that. They'll hit appropriate numbers, and this is still...
Right.
Like Solder is going to hit really wild numbers.
This and again, this makes me want to go play Malie. And I said this time and time again leading up to Necromancy, but I just never got around to it, and I never fully invested in it because I only had, you know, two of the three weapons that are kind of needed for it on that. But I mean, I guess what, the whip and the spear is probably an okay start, but I feel like you need more than that. So.
Well, I was just thinking, like, yeah, isn't there some interplay between, it's either the whip and the Abyssal
helm? Parasites.
Yeah.
Thinking of the Parasites?
The exec kill.
Yeah, I wonder how that...
There's a ton of interplay.
Right, and so I was thinking about that in regards to, could you use Slaughter?
Well, Slaughter also, remember, gets, when you use the spear, the perfected spear from archaeology. Why am I forgetting the name of it? The Spear of Annihilation, right?
That
it extends the duration of duration of your bleeds. So Slaughter, Dismember, Combust, the Exec Kill special attack, the bleed from the helmet, all those things get extended by having that spear on too.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but
mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a ton of interactions between bleeds. The thing to note with bleeds, though, these are getting increased damage. Interesting to note, these can't crit.
Right.
None of these damage values can crit, because again, the way our combat system works, you can't crit on damage over time, for the most part. There's, I think maybe one exception.
And I think that's also the same in several other games, too. I know Stow's damage over time doesn't crit, so...
But for here, that's so like maybe that's a little compensatory to make these now feel worth using, where other abilities are getting so much more benefit from crit and an average damage number. These are getting just a little bit extra damage, because before they would low roll like 80, like it was remarkable how skewed to the bottom end these were.
Yeah.
So
okay. Greater Fury, the critical strike effect could be considered overly complicated and in low value rotations. So in the beta, they made a simple change, locking it to melee abilities and giving it a buff. 10% chance on next ability to 100% chance on next ability for critical strike chance.
Yeah.
So it's
really
basically,
nice,
I want to crit right now.
Yeah, well, melee has a lot of big damage crits, right? So, like we were saying, it hit caps really easily. So when you've got your Berserk running and you're about to hit that, you know, Dragon Long, not a good example here. You know, whatever your big hit is, your claws, your whatever it is. Well, claws are four hits, but whatever your next big thing that would hit cap is, you hit Fury first and you're guaranteed a crit on it, so you get that extra 60, 65% damage, whatever. Really nice.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's a good rotation tool, and it's also a buff to manual. It's the buff to putting in that extra thought and effort into your rotation to say, I want to Fury now because I'm about to do this other big thing.
Right.
It's still going to be a good change for melee otherwise, but it's a buff to manual.
Yeah. Blood Tendrils was outdated with how it functions, so they gave it a facelift while rewriting it. In particular, it would get confused if the player was using a Spear of Annihilation, placing little hits before the big initial hit. So just a bit of cleanup on that.
Yep.
Greater Barge. They say no, always you. So somebody knows what the Greater Barge problems are. So
oh no, that's greater the no always you is the that's a boss line.
Oh,
the,
oh okay. Yeah. I thought we had a series of Greater Barge problems.
No, that's Blackstone Dragon? That's a boss line that of boss spawning in. Being angry at you.
The care pack?
It might be.
Oh, God, we should
It's definitely a male voice. I can hear it in my head. Either way, yeah. They might have been making a subtle joke, but that's...
Yeah, that's okay. Greater Barge has a lot of niche side effects, which is often cause of confusion for developers and players alike. So once again, clean up to make it less painful. In particular, it would change the attack timings of channeled abilities that were changed to damage over time through its effect, making the timings feel slightly off. So Greater Barge no longer forces channeled abilities to attack every four cycles, instead uses the same rate the ability would naturally do. So
right,
clean up,
which is usually two or three cycles. It's an increase to burst.
Yeah. Berserk, it's now multiplicative instead of additive in terms of its modifier.
Mm-hmm. It plays nicely with other buffs now, which is terrifying. It didn't matter before because most of your things hit capped when you had Berserk active. Now that the hit cap is gone, 100% extra damage is big.
And they say it's much more similar now to Death Swiftness and Sunshine, so that makes sense. Yeah. Flurry did reduce damage in AoE scenarios, resulting in clunky gameplay where you'd occasionally be trying to move back into single target to get your full damage, as Flurry is used less than other abilities. We're trying to see if we're trying out just removing the reduced damage, so it now deals full damage in both single and multi-target scenarios. Fine, good.
It's gonna be big for cleaving stuff in with like in Slayer and things. That's like, I remember doing Slayer and having to try to pull out one target when I was about to Flurry. Now you don't have to deal with that.
Yeah. These melee changes, I feel like, you know, in addition to having some good quality of life things, we're gonna see. I think this is a buff to the style, probably.
I think the Greater Fury change with the guaranteed crit is a strong buff to the style.
And Berserk.
I think the rest of this is like Berserk and Flurry are buffs, but it's like if you wanted to make an accurate tooltip for these abilities, you now require two sentences less to do it, right? Like that's what they're doing. Is they're just making things work the way that you'd expect them to, based on what the ability's goal to do is. They're cleaning things up.
Yeah.
Strong work. Like, they don't have to care about balance. It's on the beta server. They're just making it functional.
Yeah, go out and play sort of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely stronger, though. You're right.
Greater Dazing Shot. A couple effects that happen on next attack / ability are misleading, and this ability was one of them. The hit chance debuff was only active on the target for a short duration of time with the assumption that they will attack before it expires. So with this debuff on a target, it was improved. So that's what they did. Hit chance debuff is now active for the full 4.2 seconds and is not cleared on attack, and any attack from the target within that duration will have its hit chance reduced. Also, the hit chance debuff is now reapplied when the ability is used, as previously it wouldn't, which meant it would time out. Okay.
Meh, fine. Yeah. Three sentences less than the tooltip again.
Punctured, modified to deal the correct amount of hits and scale properly.
Cool.
Okay. Death Swiftness, visual clarity. And there are a lot of improvements that need to be made to that in combat. Using Death Swiftness...
I'm going to miss this.
Okay. Using Death Swiftness as an example, the area in which you benefited from the buff was much larger than the visuals, so they've updated it. It previously was a 7x7. It's been changed to a 5x5 to match the visuals.
It's probably more balanced. I can't be mad about it, but it was really nice to be able to move around a 7x7 square to like find the right place to hit a target.
See, I never knew that. I always just stayed in there.
You could stand outside of the dome. You could stand one square with no part of your character model touching that dome. Or like, especially off on the corners, and still have the Death Swiftness buff on your buff bar. You just checked there for it, and it was really nice because places like Yakimaru, where you have to aim around pools and the boss is moving, it was a nice thing to have. Now you actually have to be a little more careful where you place it, which is part of the curse of the ability that it is damage, but it requires you to stay put.
Yeah.
So fair as intended. I'm a little sad about it. I would have honestly liked if they just made all the domes bigger. Like if Sunshine had a bigger circle and Death Swiftness had a bigger dome.
Why didn't they go that way? Like, I mean,
probably art design. This is really easy for them to do in coding, 7x7 is already huge.
So
it's a 3-square radius around the player.
Yeah. Bombardment. They say we're dipping our toes into giving the core foundations of the combat triangle the necromancy treatment, and we wanted to see how much work it would be to implement proper AoE targeting into ranged. And bombardment is the ideal tester for this. It now hunts for enemies around the target as opposed to from the southwest tile. So if the target size is 3x3, a hunt range of 1 will cover a 5x5 area using the target as the center. And the target count has been increased from 8 to 9. And for the behavior, if there are more enemies than the target count, enemies will be hit at random.
Yeah. So, like, this used to be really janky, and I know I am speaking to a very small minority when I talk about, like, if you've ever done Hellware with range, it's, like, in order to make Bombard, or, like, on Magic Detonate, hit the little wolves that he spawns, you need to position your character so that you are on the south or west side of the boss. Otherwise, it won't hit. Because they come to you, and if you're not next to that southwest tile, your ability would not hit the wolves to clear them. This now, again, it just if a target is adjacent to the big wolf, it will now hit the small wolves.
Which is how you expect it to run.
Yes, no, absolutely. Absolutely. No, strong work. Yeah. I'm a fan. Yeah. But
and it's amazing, and it's amazing to see how it was at one point when they built it.
These two sets of notes are clearing up so incredibly, I know it's not on live, but so much jank from our combat system. So much. Like, it's remarkable that they're just able to just pump this stuff out. Like, real kudos.
Yeah. What do you think the impetus was for this? Necromancy?
I think they'd been meaning to do it with necromancy for a while. I'm willing to bet that they'd been balancing a certain upcoming piece of content, and now that that was done, they had some extra free time, potentially. Right. I'd be willing to bet that for a couple of things. It might just be that this is the time for it. It might be that, you know, the necromancy's done and this was on the docket of things to do.
Right.
It might be somebody's passion project for all
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, that's true.
But
you definitely expect that from folks like Ryan and Sponge. So, magic, metamorphosis, the 62.5% increase didn't look right in the tooltip, so it's been made to 66. Okay.
Great, cool. Moving on.
Sunshine reduced again, 7x7 to 5x5. Interesting that magic only got 2 compared to a lot around the edges for ranged. And I think that speaks to what we said.
Magic has had a lot of love. Magic's had a lot of love since, like, the Care Pack release and all that, when, you know, ranged was meta for a while because of bolts, and now, and then magic had its day again and all that, so.
Weapon special attacks. I've got 99 problems, and the Saren God Bow is all of them.
That's funny.
That is funny.
More damage squishing.
It is.
More damage squishing.
They said they didn't get enough time to modernize and squish all special attacks, so they focused on the most common used ones right now to get a better idea of how the beta would affect them. So this includes the Dragon Halberd, Claws, Two-Hand Sword, love that one, Dagger, the Zuck Sword, Gothic Staff, Armadale Battle Staff, Dark Bow, Bow of the Last Guardian, passive not included, and the Saren God Bow. That's going to require slightly more reworking due to how it only previously scaled the random damage portion of the ability with multiple arrow hits. It now scales the entire damage range, but the balancing remains roughly the same.
Right.
Which, I mean, I think with this list of specials, I think you got most of the ones people want to use here.
That covers a lot of what I'm going to see in... there's a few like odd niche things like rune throne axes or the things that you could have in a finality, but this is going to cover a lot of them.
Well, that pretty much does it for the combat beta changes. I mean, I feel like the other styles are going to be in a better spot coming out of this. And I think the big question in terms of, you know, it obviously feels good, but the question is, does it affect too much in the realm of making things too easy, I think is going to be the big question going forward on this. But at the same time, Necromancy's already done that, so maybe that's not much of an issue at all.
Well, I just think it makes it a more relevant choice to what style you're choosing, right? Like, And I think you hit the nail on the head, Thaxi, with saying that it had to be strong in the beginning. It can afford to come back a little bit now.
So there's room for buffs and improvements, yeah.
And yeah, and you can kind of, you know, I'm glad the other styles are getting a little bit, because at the end of the day, Necromancy ended up being a fun RuneScape combat style. But, you know, I think was kind of a backdoor to test and try a lot of these changes that they've been wanting to do
for a long time.
So you're doubling down on that theory then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, yeah, I agree. It's...
And I mean, also out to the listeners at this point, if you've been on the beta and you have different experiences and you feel that maybe it might be too powerful,
please let us know.
Let us know. Or if it's not powerful enough, let us know. But I think this moves things in the right direction. I think it goes back to that theory that if these beta changes go forward, they will bring Magic Melee and ranged into the realm of the damage cap that Necromancy has. Except you'll still need your skill set that you had previously to reach that damage number. And I think that's what people wanted. So. Alrighty. We got something called, you guys remember a news section or a news video?
It was
way back
like...
when, called like Behind the Scenes or something?
Yeah, sometimes it would show like Mod Mark would be doing goofy shit.
Or Mod Osborn?
Mod Elfborn, my beloved.
Yeah, you guys remember those, hey?
I vaguely remember something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, we got that, except it's not called Behind the Scenes. We know what's coming in November now. Vorkath confirmed for November 20th.
Yeah, the news poster this had a big green eye on it that I every time I look at it, I still think looks like the Carapac release trailer. They really need to stop it with the one dragon eye. They've like it's too much. It's too many.
Yeah.
But he's coming.
And we were wondering if it was going to be on Ungale, but it sounds like from this that it's going to be actually around Fort 4 and 3 instead.
They're moving it.
Yeah. So
they, to be fair, the arena that they used for the combat encounter on Ungale kind of feels, or it has a similar vibe to that circular arena that was used in, like it's a good throwback to the old school one. But I think if they're rebuilding the boss, reasonable to move it elsewhere.
Yeah. He's also going to require 60 necromancy, 50 construction, and 10 slayer, plus all of the Fort 4 and 3 quest content.
Ugh. Yeah.
Damn it, you are going to... You're going to watch Rian Johnson Star Wars and like it.
You're going to do...
Remember when you had to do that... What was the quest to access the Elder God Wars? Like, no, quest locked. Yeah.
Wasn't as an Andra's quest, was it? No.
I can't even remember. But it was no, I don't think so.
At least
it wasn't.
Was
it wasn't as long. It was only though. One quest. These, like, I don't mind these. I'm a quest person. I like these quests, and I don't have several more than several ults, so I'm fine with this.
It's fine. The combat beta already mentioned double XP November 10th to 20th. We knew that was coming.
Yep. Tis the season.
Graphical area updates November 6th. And 13th, with brought to you by Mod Blackwitch and Mod Alex, plus another thing Mod Blackwitch tweeted, they're reworking a ton of the worn outfits to improve the saturation on them so that you can actually get deep colors now with it, which I think is going to look really neat.
I'm curious how this is going to, because so many people are adjusted to their are like in love with their OG character outfits, right? The number of people you see who are not wearing any overrides, just hiding all their gear. I'm interested to see if there's anybody who's like really upset, or like we're going to see some garish stuff, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, and in terms of the graphical updates on the way, we of course have the Tyrannan Pass. One and the area around the ZMI altar showcased as well. Yeah. So that's going to be, it's just going to be so fun to run through on those.
Arander.
So, and that looks really neat. community hit list sprinkled in throughout November and December. And then, you know, with that, I think we have a pretty good idea of what the rest of the year looks like with with Vorkath on the 20th, graphical updates and community hit list spread throughout. And then we're going to see, obviously, presence from the sledge, I would imagine, at some point in December. Maybe a December headliner, maybe not. There hasn't been one for the past 2 years. We'll have to wait and see, of course. But the end is in sight, folks. And I will say, at least from a podcast production standpoint, and maybe even just my personal standpoint, I just really like having these behind the scenes posts, so I know, okay, there's going to be Boss on the 20th. Right. There's going to be patch notes this week. There's going to be a graphical update this week. So on and so forth. And Tanis, you and I will have to have a chat about that 20th week, because that's Thanksgiving week, and I remember last year.
Well, things have changed substantially since last year, but I'm probably not going to be able to contribute a ton of relevant commentary on Boss Week anyway.
But it's going to have a story mode.
I know, but we'll see where we go.
Story normal and hard, and alone or with a group.
Yeah, I'm curious what they're going to do with the group scaling.
Also, new range drops.
That's always a question.
Plus, necromancy drops.
Yeah.
What does range need?
Drops. What?
We're going to find out what it needs, Shane.
I don't know.
Well, necromancy, I'm really hoping they drop the component pouch to hold or to access your runes and ectoplasm and things.
Wait. Wouldn't we already know that the necromancy one's going to be an unlocked token for the next conjure?
Also that. Also access to the next conjure, whatever that's going to be. Yep.
So.
Oh. Okay.
Because there's that message at, I think, 105 necromancy that you can use for conjures.
Yeah. Low-key, hoping I can summon a dragon. Give me Ghost Cath.
That would be so neat.
Pie in the sky. There's no way. I shouldn't be able to summon like a baby skeletal wyvern or something, but I want to.
What do you want for ranged?
I have no idea what they're giving us. I truly don't.
I felt like we were good after Bowl of the Last Guardian.
Well, it's a question of like... because we've already got the quiver. I don't think we need more ammo, so like slot items.
I mean, let's make arrows better before we add more ammo.
We've got so many ammunition types that I think. I mean, we could be, but I don't think it needs. I don't think that's needed. Maybe like because there are
tier 95 crossbow.
Wait, blowpipe. Yo, that would be dope if Vorkath dropped the blowpipe. That. Chef's kiss, because we ain't getting Zolra, but like I don't know.
Oh well, there'll be a dev blog before
it would be cool to have like an ability altering thing, maybe, if they fix. I mean, it would be nice if they would fix the boots so they didn't stun me when Yakumaru's sharks came out.
Oh yeah, that I wonder why that's not being addressed in the beta. Maybe that's
A low priority, probably. Yeah. But I like the helm for melee, the eraser head helm.
Right.
Maybe something similar for range would be my only guess, but I don't know. I know they're trying to move away from switches, so I'm assuming it's something that with a passive.
Yeah. Tanis, what do you want?
I don't really know. Like, range isn't really my style to be. In with, I think it'll be something kind of, maybe it'll be something different. It could be something thrown or you know, something different.
That's interesting.
Maybe a dart, a new dart or something.
Yeah, they really haven't done thrown
could
weapons
be cool.
since
we
EOC,
haven't done,
have they?
Yeah, or hear me out. Tier 90 plus shield bow, please, for the love of God, please.
Oh,
that's a niche item.
That's actually
our best shield bow is currently level 85. It's a strike bow. So it would be nice to have something better. I mean, you could switch to a one hand and a shield, and like magic, obviously, like there's no one handed, there's no staff shields, so like there's no reason to say that it has to happen. Shield bows are already kind of a weird spot, but I'd like a higher tier shield bow. How about that? That'll be my answer.
All right, there we go. Yeah. Well, we'll leave that there. See what they land on. If you're a fan of ranged, let us know. Let us know. Anybody hungry?
Starving.
Ate in pre-show. You also ate dinner right before this.
I know, but I'm starving.
The official RuneScape
tuna potato sounds really good.
Yeah, the official RuneScape cookbook launching 2024, including
2024. Oh, it's already 2023.
Yeah. So
you know what I think. I think it looks like fine English cuisine.
Fine English cuisine.
All right. But? Is there a but to that?
No, but from everything I've heard about English cuisine, I mean,
beans should on be toast. Right on.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's 192 pages long, available for pre-order right now. Yeah,
that's nuts.
I do know that there's an ingredient guide. There's drinks in it, like the gnome cocktails you were hoping for.
Nice.
Some other things include the RuneScape version of blackened shrimp tacos, baked potato three or more ways. I don't know that you need a recipe for that, but okay. And of course the very traditional RuneScape cake from Chef's Assistant.
I mean, it's RuneScape cuisine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just say a three-way potato?
Yeah. Yeah. Baked potato three ways.
Tuna potato, cheese potato, like chili potatoes, like the ones that the RuneScape foods.
Yeah. Yeah. The chili potato, tuna potato, and egg potato.
All right.
Egg.
I mean, hey.
That's a thing we have? Okay.
Apparently.
I wonder if they have the Admiral pie. That sounds like it could have been something.
Yeah, okay. I need to get the full-blown recipe book out here, because I saw that earlier this week with the index that they had on it.
If you ever bake that, though, oof. The smell of baking fish pies, I personally, not in my kitchen if I can avoid it.
What is it you don't want to bake?
Oh, just the smell of like fish, like
what you like, have a you don't like that?
Maybe I've been burned too many times by somebody reheating fish in the microwave.
Okay,
in the break
room
kind of
don't
thing.
Don't like, do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I thought, but do you like fish in general?
Hit or miss. I grew up in Seattle, so like I will always be going for a good smoked salmon.
Yeah,
always.
Exactly.
But I'm not a huge like clam chowder. Like a lot of I'm not a big fan of clams. Like, I'm not a big fan of a lot of fish options.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. I wanted to find the full recipe thing on here, but I can't find where that was. In my history, specifically for the cocktails and whatnot, amongst other things, because I know that would be interesting. And of course, the people are probably wondering, does the cake have more in it than just flour, milk, and whatnot? But
do that for a round table sometime, Shane. We should make gnome cocktails. Someone will have to get the book and share the recipe.
Okay. You know what I did? You know what I actually did cooking wise with the apples off the tree this year, just as a bit of an experiment. I said I wanted to make a cake with apples, and I told ChatGPT this, and I listed a few of the ingredients, and I just asked it to come up with a recipe.
You can do a lot of stuff where you replace sugar and things in recipes with apples, and there's a ton of options where you replace ingredients with applesauce.
Right.
Because it adds a ton of
I mean,
good
it turned out pretty good.
And flavor and sugar and things. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an option, but...
You got apples, Shane?
Yeah. I have an apple tree in the backyard.
Oh, nice. You can make cider out of that, and if you had some yeast to that cider,
I made applesauce.
Good
once.
Cider.
Yeah. I found the index of it, by the way. I found the index of the cookbook. So it's got a section on starters. And in there you got your cooked fish cake, spider on a stick, carom blonde, fried onions.
Toad crispies.
By the way, the spider on a stick is crab cakes on skewers.
Huh.
As it should be.
Yeah. There's a soup and stew section, sauces. The infernal sauce that we were wondering about last year is actually just habanero hot sauce.
Ooh.
So that's kind of spicy.
Minus one for invent for unless it's homemade, in which case.
Yeah. Lobsters, cooked jubbly, which they're branding as fire roasted chicken.
Okay.
Wild pies, game pie.
Yeah.
Roast
Have you seen
beef
the size
meat.
Of a jubbly in game? It's waist high. What do you mean roasted chicken? It should be, it's like, all right, fine. Give me a
roasted emu. Leg of ostrich.
As pronounced is about that one.
I was going to say, the conservationists are coming after us.
A thank you kebab is spiced lamb kebab.
Okay.
Fish is a whole grilled red snapper. Then the puddings as well. They got a brulee supreme, which is a no-bake creme brulee, and the slop of compromise is orange almond bread pudding.
Slop of compromise, right? Recipe for disaster existed. Oh, goblin generals! I know what went into that slop of compromise in the game. That would not make a good pregame.
All right. Blurberry special is a lemon drop, and they got an actual recipe for Asgardian ale. They're not calling it anything else.
Oh,
okay.
The poison chalice is a green Russian.
Okay, that makes sense. That
never heard of a green Russian.
Faxi?
So we're between a green demon and a Russian Moscow mule, I think.
Green heard Russian. Of a Moscow mule, but.
Green Demon is just a lot of green Russian absinthe vodka heavy cream. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The chocolate Saturday is a mocha martini.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. And then the short green guy is a Midori sour, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it's also got a quest certificate for obviously completing Cook's Assistant, the IRL ingredients guide, dietary considerations chart, a difficulty index, about the authors, and measurement conversion chart.
That's fun. That's cool.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be something to pick up, and I think it'd be a great live stream too. So,
Patreon special.
Oh, that's a sequel to the bank roast.
Man, I can't get the good absinthe, though. Can you get the good absinthe, Shane?
I don't drink, so I don't know.
Tanis doesn't have to worry about going blind from drinking too much of the good absinthe.
Yeah, see? I'm fine. I'm immune.
Oh, God.
I think we'll leave this here, but oh, boy, the cookbook sounds fun. I'm not sure what's more fun, the cookbook or the combat beta.
That's why I used to tell people when I used to smoke, I'd be like, yeah, but I'll be the last to survive in the fire. Mm-hmm. I'm used to it. Yeah.
Oh, and red berry pie. Cherry pie.
Oh, course. What's cherry pie? Oh, okay.
Of course. Yeah. I don't know. They could have done cranberry or something, but cherry is definitely the traditional option.
I can
there.
Get down with some cherry pie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Dennis, calm down.
All right, let's move on to the achievables. So starting off, we have Jag 3 Dagster with 99 Necromancy on the 30th, and Mej Quest with 99 Prayer also on the 30th.
All right, and we have Duke Juker with 99 Necromancy. We have, what is this? Fall My Pokes. With 120 invention.
And then we had, I'm going to butcher this, but Sina ATN with 99 attack and ranged on October 26th, and Cyan R with 99 necromancy on October 25th. Short list. Good job this week, guys.
Nicely done. As we always say, the calm before the double XP storm.
That's coming. Mm-hmm. You feel it, Mr. Krabs?
I know you definitely feel something else because you have a playlist for us.
Yeah, so I'm. I promised that I would be doing cozy things through the end of the year for my picks of the week. Anytime I was on the show, and I have like two books coming out next week, another game that's coming out the week after that. I'm like, this is the drought right now. All of the Christmas albums are going to be coming out a little later for the folks that listen to those. But no, so this week it's a chill playlist from YouTube that I've been listening to while I've been doing some grinds, mostly instrumentals. It's called Songs to Help Your Plants Grow. It's linked in the notes. Just kind of lo-fi adjacent, just good vibey music. That's it.
That's good. I think we all kind of need that when, you know, doing whatever you might have you, whatever game it is, RS, old school, other games.
Good background.
Yeah. So, and, you know, nothing says that pick of the week has to be 100% elaborate always, and sometimes simple is best. So, right on. Link in the show notes.
That's my recommendation.
What have you been up to on RS, Tanis?
Well, first, in RS, I have just been back to gathering, but mostly dabbling in some woodcutting on both RS and LSRS.
That forestry is really something, isn't it?
So kind of doing stuff there. But to answer the burning question that's been on everyone's mind for the last week, this is not virtual reality that I am wearing.
Oh, right. We didn't address that last week, what you were wearing, and we said to address it this week.
This is actually the newest version of the assistive tech that I use, and it's the latest generation of eSight.
I mean, that is a pick of the week.
Yeah, I'm actually testing it at the moment. So
yeah,
That's what I have been able to kind of see everyone's lovely faces. Otherwise,
for the listeners, it's got a camera on it, right?
Yeah, it's got a camera, and there are two screens that I'm looking at. And then I have a remote in my hand that I'm zooming in and out.
Oh, okay.
So that most of this time I was using it as if it was almost like a Zoom screen where I could spotlight each of you. So as you were talking, I could just focus and see you. Otherwise, I wouldn't have seen you. Like I said, you would have gotten a look at my forehead.
Right, and we've seen that before when we first did video with Necromancy, that's what you were doing most of the time, and I think this seems to work better and help you out with that.
Yeah, testing's going really well.
And you said image stabilization as well, which, you know, is good for anybody who's done things at large zoom levels with cameras or other viewfinding devices.
Yep, very much, very much so.
Nice.
So, yeah.
How about you, Thaxi?
Quiet week for me for RS this week. School's gotten a little bit busier, and a big update to ESO this week that's had me kind of distracted. Uh-huh. I did hit 116 fire making, about 70 mil fire making XP, so we're still on that pet grind. I'll get back to working on trim and comp. I obviously want to finish the 120 necromancy before Grace is up, so I will eventually get back.
I did
some rituals early in the week.
Yeah, we'll all get there by then.
Yep. Well, we're halfway there. We're almost exactly halfway there now. So, and I'm sitting, I think, 30, 40 mil or something like that now. 31, yeah. So nice. I've got some weights to go.
That's about where I got the pet. I think I got the pet at around 36.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be at least as common as the other combat styles. So,
very good. As for me this week, went back and did some Raziel as was expected with the changes that were coming in this week. So that was interesting. And, you know, like I mentioned, kill times pretty much the same as they were, if not just a hair better. but way less food being used on that. So it's actually sustainable now. So I appreciate that. And I think that's kind of where things are going to settle until I sit down and just perfect a rotation a little bit further on that. But RS3-wise, other than that, just dailies and the combat beta. But of course, the main story, of course, is the Old School podcast, which we launched last Sunday, that you can find on the main update website at update.show. Just go to update.show/OS if you want to see the OS shows only. That's something that Sirion and I are going to be doing, at least through leagues, and we'll see what happens when that ends, whether or not it continues or if it's just going to be a limited run. We're also just using it as a vessel to kind of try out some fun new things for the podcast format that might at some point make their way into the mainstay update show. So if you play Old School or you just want to hear more of us, we have that available as well at update.show and also on YouTube at youtube.com/OSRSupdate. But I'll say as well for this show, and of course all the shows, just subscribe. That's the best way to get the podcast delivered automatically to you in whatever podcast listener you use. Head on over to update.show/subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, and more. And of course, YouTube as well for the video version of the show at youtube.com/RSBNB. But I don't believe there's anything else left for us to do. Everybody get back to the combat beta. Let us know how it goes next week. And we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Thaxi, thanks for being here. So Tannis and I will be back next week. So until then, take care, everyone. See you then.
Ciao.
See ya.